When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. USA.
Adored one, then you became the bored one, and I was like a toy that brought you joy. One day, a broken toy that you preferred to throw. If I expected love when first we kissed, blame it on my youth. If only just for you I did exist, blame it on my youth. I believed in everything like a child of three. You meant more than anything, all the world to me. If you were on my mind all night and day, blame it on my youth. If I forgot to eat and sleep and pray, blame it on my youth. If I cried a little bit when first I learned the truth, don't blame me, blame it on my you.
Well, if you want to blame anything on my youth, it will be my passion for the American musical theater. And one of the towering giants of that genre, of course, is George Gershwin, along with his pal Oscar Levant. Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 WLIW-FM, Long Island's only signature, one-of-a-kind, rhapsodic NPR station. And if you've been following Broadway, as I know all of you who listen to the show do, you'll know that there's an extraordinary show at the Lyceum Theater called Goodnight Oscar, about the, what would I say, life and very quick rise and very quick fall of Oscar Levant, who is a great, great friend of George Gershwin's, played in a Tony-winning performance, I'm happy to announce, by Sean Hayes. But I thought today we would be joined by the wonderful, talented, and charming young actor who plays George Gershwin, John Trudesky, who is actually a good friend of mine from way back. So welcome. I'm going to call you Boomer. Can I call you Boomer on the air?
You can absolutely. You can call me whatever you'd like, Larry.
So welcome to Broadway to Main Street.
Oh, I appreciate it. Long time listener, first time guest.
And it's really a thrill to have you, because you give such a smart and clever performance as George Gershwin. How would you describe the character of Gershwin in the way he functions in the play?
That's a really good question. But between you and me, I'm not really playing George Gershwin. I'm playing the version of George Gershwin that exists in Oscar's mind. Hmm. And if I had to guess, I think it was that that was like the first thing I realized after reading the play was that that's what this was. It was, to quote your friend and mine from NYU grad acting, Janet Zarish, it was about the relationship between these two people. And that was really going to be the key to understanding who Gershwin was in this context.
Wow. Well, Doug Wright has done a wonderful job of sort of plumbing the depths of Oscar Levant's consciousness about Gershwin. We'll talk a little bit more about their relationship, but it's pertinent for our purposes that George Gershwin in 1934 and 1935 was a radio host. He had his own show, Music by Gershwin. So let's hear a little of that. That was Oscar Levant at the keyboard playing one of Gershwin's three piano preludes. And John, you've been finding your way through your favorite Gershwin keyboard pieces?
I have. I had obviously heard Rhapsody in Blue before because I didn't grow up under a rock. But what I'll say about Gershwin to me, Gershwin has kind of made me understand something about genius, which is that I feel like genius is seeing open road where other people see traffic. And in terms of him, he is really, at least in terms of white composers, he really bridges the gap between European classical music and American, what would be what you could call jazz or ragtime or at that point. But my main thing that I hear about Gershwin is he is so distinctly American. Like, I challenge anyone to listen to Rhapsody in Blue, particularly when the orchestra comes in towards the end, and not hear like the American glory of the storming the beaches of Normandy. That is it. Like, you just hear the America that existed in the first half of the 20th century.
Or perhaps more to the point, the ships coming past the Statue of Liberty to New York Harbor.
100%. That's a better analogy. Now, the interesting thing is when I hear Oscar play Gershwin, because I've listened to both the piano recording that we just heard and Oscar playing Gershwin. What I hear when I listen to Oscar is I hear a very, very good student trying to impress the teacher.
Hmm.
And I am not a piano player, and I would be curious to hear someone like Michael Feinstein talk about that. But that's what I hear, and I find it helpful.
Interesting.
In terms of their relationship.
Well, of course, one of the things that made Gershwin immortal was his work for the musical stage in addition to the concert stage. Let us hear Carmen McRae sing what is for me the finest rendition of Summertime from Porgy and Bess.
Daddy and Mommy standing by. With Daddy and Mommy so much emotion. Could you coo, could you care for a cunning cottage we could share? The world will pardon my mush, 'cause I got a crush, my baby, on you. I got a crush on you, sweetie pie, all the day and night time. Hear me sigh. I never had the least notion that I could fall with such emotion. Could you coo, could you care for a cunning cottage we could share? The world will pardon my mush, 'cause I have got a crush, my baby, on you. 'cause I have got a crush, my baby, on you.
What we heard was a cut from I've Got a Crush on You from the film An American in Paris, which is yet another bridge between George Gershwin and Oscar Levant, in this case as a performer.
Yes. Oscar, for listeners who don't know or haven't seen the show, Oscar had a very prominent career and was probably best known. The way I've compared it to people, because a lot of people understand Johnny Carson more than they understand Jack Parr, the relationship that I find akin to Carson was with Don Rickles. It's kind of like Carson would tear up the cards and they would just go. That was Jack Parr and Oscar Levant. Now, Oscar Levant, like, had talent coming out of his pores, because he was not only this incredibly trained, he was not this incredibly accomplished, rather, and trained, but accomplished concert pianist, and sometime composer, which is an object of, an object of his neuroses in the play. But he was this incredible wit. Probably one of, and just like the sheer amount of just offhand, off the cuff, extempore, as Sean says in the play, that he was just able to just like fire off. It's insane. And Doug Wright captures it so brilliantly in the play. There are times where I honestly, when we did the initial run of it in Chicago, I couldn't tell what was Doug and what was Oscar. He's just captured the man's voice so perfectly.
Because it's interesting you mention Rickles and Carson, because I also thought of Letterman and Charles Grodin.
Yes.
As that kind of scary moment where are they putting it on? You certainly knew that anything could happen and probably would.
Right.
And I think that I think Doug probably, and I say this in the best possible way, kind of makes a souffle of probably the best Parr Levant moments that ever occurred, but at least you get to hear them all in one show.
Yes. I 100%. It's definitely like the whole play is an amalgamation of events that actually occurred. For example, this what occurs in the play never actually occurred, but it is truthful in that Oscar was released from a mental health facility to go record a television show. It was not Jack Parr's Tonight Show. He got a 4-hour pass to do it, which happens in the play, but putting it on Parr's Tonight Show, I think makes it resonate with more people. And it's one of those things. I when I was going to school, this was not at NYU, but there was a playwright who came and talked to us one time, and he says, "I'm not interested in reality. I'm interested in truth." And that to me is what the play is.
Wow.
Not be the reality, but it is truthful.
Well, Levant was a protean personality, as was Gershwin. We opened the show with Blame It on My Youth, sung by Chris Connor, probably his best known song. But let's hear a bunch of things that Oscar wrote, which are beautiful, stunning Tin Pan Alley songs and Hollywood songs of the 30s and 40s. Let's start with Bobby Short singing Don't Mention Love to Me.
My heart is not a plaything. Parting is not a gay thing, darling. Don't mention love to me. Romance may bring us sorrow. Let's be friends on the morrow, darling. Don't mention love to me. I can't love you discreetly. No halfway measures for me. I must love you completely. If this should end, where would I be? You smile, I'm overpowered. I'd fall, but I'm a coward, darling. Don't mention love to me. I can't love you discreetly. No halfway measures for me. I must love you completely. If this should end, where would I be? You smile, I'm overpowered. I'd fall, but I'm a coward, darling. Don't mention love to me.
Until today, how really beautiful this blue world could be, until you smiled at me. Until today, I never thrilled until today. My heart had never known this feeling divine, until your lips met mine, your lips met mine. The robin never sang as sweetly, the flowers never bloomed so fair. You seemed to change my life completely the moment you whispered you care. Until today, I never lived until today. I never dreamed that love could play such a part until today, sweetheart.
Was a very young Perry Como singing a song with a music by Oscar Levant called Until Later, a really nice song. any thoughts about Oscar Levant as a songwriter? I mean, clearly you couldn't do a review of Oscar Levant's songs. He didn't write that many. But as Spencer Tracy said about Katharine Hepburn, there ain't much, but what's there is churse.
I think there's two things there. Number one, I actively did not listen to any of Oscar's music and have actively avoided it for the sole purpose of the fact that there was a story that I think really captures Gershwin's relationship to Oscar, which is they're at a party. They were always at parties. All of their stories are at various parties that they were at together. And Gershwin, speaking of Blame It on My Youth, says in front of a crowd of people, "Oscar, would you like to play us a medley of your hit?"
Oh,
which is just withering.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and now this is just to, and they would give it back. Now, obviously he's doing this with Oscar Levant. Like Gershwin may have been the foremost white composer of the first half of the 20th century. Oscar Levant is one of the foremost wits of the first half of the 20th century. So I have to tell this story in response, which is that one time Gershwin, not unlike the person playing him in Goodnight Oscar, can be rather loquacious. And he enjoyed talking about himself. And one time he got to the end of this really long monologue just about himself or something he was doing. And I really have to say this slow because I don't want to screw it up. But Oscar, there's like a pause and Oscar says, "George, if you could do it all over, would you fall in love with yourself again?" And I just, that's them. That's the two of them.
Well, Oscar Levant was also a reluctant performer. Many people would know him from his sidekick role in American in Paris. But my favorite is him playing a kind of vaudeville version of Adolph Green of the team of Comden and Green in the film The Bandwagon. So here he is with Fred Astaire and Jack Buchanan and Nanette Fabre telling us what's entertainment.
Everything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go. The clown with his pants falling down, or the dance that's a dream of romance, or the scene where the villain is mean. That's entertainment.
The lights on the lady in tights,
or the bride with the guy on the side,
or the ball where she gives him her all. That's entertainment.
The plot can be hot, simply teeming with sex.
A gay divorcee who is after her ex.
It could be Oedipus Rex,
where a chap kills his father and causes a lot of bother.
The clerk who is thrown out of work
by the boss who is thrown for a loss.
By the skirt who is doing him dirt.
The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment. Show that is really a show sends you out with a kind of a glow, and you say as you go on your way, that's entertainment. A song that is winging along, or a dance with a touch of romance, is the art that appeals to the heart. That's entertainment. Admit we're a hit and we'll go on from there. We play the charade that was lighter than air. A good old-fashioned affair. As we sing this finale, we hope it was up your alley. No death
like you get in Macbeth, no ordeal. Like the end of Camille, this goodbye brings a tear to the eye. The world is a stage. The stage is a world of entertainment.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street. And today we're looking at the complicated relationship between Oscar Levant and George Gershwin, as portrayed in Goodnight Oscar, currently on Broadway at the Belasco Theater, with the very talented actor John Straczynski, who plays George Gershwin. Did I get close?
You've done it perfectly the last time.
Oh, so, you know, there's always... because of George Gershwin's early tragic death, there's a lot of resonance maybe that people attach to his life, a kind of melancholy that always underlines that. And I guess one of the last songs he wrote with Ira was Love Is Here to Stay. But you picked that as one of your songs. Tell me why.
If Gershwin is Jesus, Oscar really is St. Paul. Like, there is no Christianity. There is no, without St. Paul, there is no Gershwin being, the figure that we all know, without Oscar Levant. He makes it his secret mission to spread the gospel of this man's work. And that's part of why the scene carries such weight, is because George knew that while he loved Ira, Ira was not capable of doing it. He needed a genius to be the messenger. And that's what Oscar is.
He needed an apostle.
Exactly.
So when I hear this song, I think of Oscar and George as well. So let's hear Nat King Cole's brilliant version.
It's very clear our love is here to stay. Not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh, my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But our love is here to stay. Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But our love is here to stay. Thank you.
Okay, John, we've now come to the monument here, to the Everest. Without giving away too much about the play, we come to Rhapsody in Blue and Oscar's playing of it. How often did he play it? Was it something that people were always asking him to do? Did he love playing it? Did he hate playing it? What's your take on all that?
Yes, is my answer to everything. I think that Oscar was constantly being, because as I said earlier, like when you're, he was both asked to do it because he did it so well, because he was closest to George, but he also felt a deep, deep responsibility to do this because he was the one who truly saw how brilliant, George was. And so I don't know the exact amount, but the relationship that I've always found, again, citing Janet Zarish's favorite word, the relationship that I've found most analogous to it is similar to, I'm such an actor because I'm about to make a Eugene O'Neill reference, is James Tyrone with The Count of Monte Cristo. Long Day's Journey into Night. It's that kind of thing.
And doesn't he say that wonderful, hateful play? He uses some wonderful oxymoron when he describes the play in O'Neill.
Yes. And I haven't read Long Day's Journey. I haven't read Long Day's Journey in a very long time, but that it's just that idea of what I could have been if I hadn't. I don't know. In James Tyrone's case, it's sold out. I don't really think Oscar necessarily sold out. I just think that with Oscar, it was this deep need to spread the gospel of Gershwin. That's my own understanding of it. And that's what I play with on stage.
That's what I think is so beautiful about Sean Hayes' tremendous performance, Tony winning performance.
Absolutely.
Is even if you don't know these two guys, everyone in their life has some spark of artistic aspiration, both feels fulfilled and incompetent simultaneously. That's every artist, I think, tragic trajectory. And, I think it's so relatable in this play and audiences get it. I mean, the time I saw it, they got that, even if they maybe didn't get all the references to, you know, showbiz in the 30s, 40s and 50s. So I can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say enough about Sean. We need a whole other hour the man does every night.
Well, let's turn to what the man does every night. Here is Rhapsody in Blue, but played by Oscar Levant.
Thank you.
A towering performance. It may be the longest cut we've ever played on Broadway to Main Street. And I have to say, the first time we've ever played all of Rhapsody in Blue. We're doing so in honor of a wonderful play, Goodnight Oscar at the Belasco Theater. If you like show music and you like music of the great American 20th century, and you must, or you wouldn't be listening to this show, you really do need to go and see it. And I want to extend such heartfelt thanks to John Strajewski. Not only coming and being a great supporter, but doing such a wonderful job in the show. We're going to end with the way Gershwin himself ended his own radio show. Anything you'd like to say in closing, John?
Oh, I tried to finish your sentence and I was incorrect. And this is why I should never finish sentences. But Gershwin was really afraid that this next song was always going to define his legacy. And we owe it to Oscar Levant in many ways that it didn't. But it was kind of his first hit. It was
his
the song that
hit. Biggest hit he ever had. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly why he was so afraid he was going to be defined by it. It's a beautiful testament to what Oscar did for Gershwin and in that this song, is not necessarily what people know him for. And it's just one of many things that we can look to when we're talking about George Gershwin.
Well, from the stage Gershwin to the real George Gershwin, thanks for listening to Broadway to Main Street.
The melody we're playing is Swanee. In Friday evening's program, I'll tell you all about it. Meanwhile, may I say that I've had a very good time this evening, and I hope you feel the same way about it.